might be alright. Thank God, I think we're gonna be alright. Alright, okay. Good morning. It's 6 o'clock on a snowy Monday morning, though we're not sure how long it's going to last. And it's nice to be back in the seat again, health permitting. So it's a 6 o'clock Monday morning. This must be time for Celtic Dawn. And as soon as we can get the CD players powered up, we'll be dandy.
Masters in this hall, hear your news today. You brought from oversea, and ever I you pray.
Noel, 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 sing we clear. Open our old folk on earth, born is gone, son so dear. Noel, 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 sing we loud. God today hath poor folk raised, and the casted down the proud.
Going o'er the hills, through the milk-white snow, heard the lambs to bleat and saw the wind to blow.
Noel, 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 sing we clear. Hope and our old folk on earth, born is gone, son so dear. Noel, 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 sing we loud. God today hath poor folk raised and casted down the proud.
Shepherds many a one sat among the sheep. No man spoke more word than they had been asleep.
Noel, 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 sing we clear. Hope and our old folk on earth, born is gone, son so dear. Noel, 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 sing we loud.
God today hath poor folk raised and casted down the proud. Shepherds should have right to leap and dance and sing. Wherefore do you sit before this wondrous thing?
Noel, 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 sing we clear. Hope and our old folk on earth, born is gone, son so dear. Noel, 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 sing we loud.
God today hath poor folk raised and casted down the proud. Bethlehem town went we two by two, saw the newborn babe laid in a manger low.
Noel, 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 sing we clear. Hope and our old folk on earth, born is gone, son so dear. Noel, 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 sing we loud.
God today hath poor folk raised and cast down the proud. Oxen dashed their word down on bended knee. Wondrous joy had I this little babe to see.
Noel, 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 sing we clear. Hope and our old folk on earth, born is gone, son so dear. Noel, 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 sing we loud.
God today hath poor folk raised and Lancaster down the proud.
This is Christ the Lord, masters be ye glad. Christmas is coming and no man should be sad.
Norwell, 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 sing we clear. Hope and our old folk on earth, born is gone, son so dear. Norwell, 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 sing we loud. God today hath poor folk raised and the caster down the proud. Sing me clear, hope and our old folk on earth, born is gone, son so dear. Norwell, 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 sing we loud. Gone today, help awful praised, and the caster down the proud.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford.
Tossa her dear mid macaro le gok bwina bwinyan gok laver e laverin agus dyr eir shin is lefin in an laver dysgri tossa her dear mid macaro lonk on reshin er kol am kil agus diol ter is on senato call on kill. I yet say I can avoid and can no conlis, can no noggin magus covered so call it to kneel, no drug fail, or rub the shirt and fain, or the lord and deed all. Genuine guilty shirt, August can they fain and gentle guilty shirt to tell, show them tell their column kill. August don't issue and caution cold, drab my rear in August. The marabou jack head is thick as squad of winter and cough. Chin and laver to Sir Logan Cock, chin and their old leg, win a win in. Cock laver, I laver in. Is that finning on haver the scritosa? Her dear mid macaro, that got win a win in, got laver and laver in. August the rare shin is that finning haver the scritosa, her dear mid macaro. Round the cool and dirt fair. the rain cock will pay for me, August cock will arrive.
McCartney, on behalf of Rad, if you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you. Yes, I'm
gonna be a star. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Good morning. We started off with Noel Sing We Clear giving us Masters in the Hole from, as far as I know, the last album that they put out, but I haven't checked recently, called Bidding You Joy from 2013. And after that, we heard Lorcan Mock-Methuna with his fine album, The Arrows That Murder Sleep. And that particular piece on Catholic was Colum Kia had copied the Book of Finian, and when Finian discovered the fact, he claimed the copy for his own. They agreed to let the High King of Ireland, Dermid MacCarroll, adjudicate over the matter, whereupon he made what is recorded as the first copyright judgment in history, at least as far as the Irish are concerned. The judgment of the High King infuriated Colum Kia, and he swore he would wage over it that the outcome, the Battle of Cooldrumne, and the slaughter of 400 young men. The book became known as Ancathach, or The Battler. And supposedly the judgment that was rendered in 558 AD got to be translated as to every cow her calf, to every book its copy. And switching from Irish, we have some new music from Dave the Bard. His album is just out, the second branch of the Mabinogion that deals with the story of Vran and Vranwen. And we're going to hear a few pieces from that.
O gwmpas brynin. Y ddau frawd yma o'r un fam a fynd i geidfran. Roeddynt yn feibion i wŵr o'r enw Euroswydd.
Before I tell you of the great mist that befell the kingdom of David, there is another tale I need to tell. The triads of the island of Britain say that the three futile battles were the Cadgodhe, where Gwydion the Enchanter raised an army of trees against the denizens of Annwn, after his brother, a Maethon, had stolen the roebuck from that other place. The Battle of Camlann, where Arthur fell to his son Mordred. And the Battle of Arderydd, the last battle of the pagan King Gwenddole, and the final victory of the Christian, where his bard, Myrddin, witnessed the deaths of all of his friends and family. The air so thick with the copper taint of blood, he ran screaming in madness to the forest, there to learn his wisdom and to become the man of legend. But I will tell you now of a battle so much bloodier than those. You may have heard of the great bear, Art, King Arthur, who stood before the Saxon hordes and for many years brought peace to the island of the mighty. But before Arthur, there was another great king, and these are his tales. Let me tell you now of the beautiful Branwen, of Manawydan, of Nisien and Efnisien, and of the Cauldron of Rebirth. For these are the tales of Bendigeidfran, or as you may know him, Bran the Blessed. Giant, warrior, and high king of the island of the mighty. Much of what I tell you now was told to me. I enter this story later in our tale. It begins in Harlech, with the High King Bran standing upon the rock of Harlech overlooking the sea, with his brother, Manawydan, and his two half-brothers, Nisien and Efnisien. His half-brothers were the sons of Euroswydd by his mother, Penarddin, who was herself daughter of Beli Mawr, son of Manogan. Much of what I tell you now was told to me. I enter this story later in our tale. It begins in Harlech, with the High King Bran standing upon the rock of Harlech overlooking the sea, with his brother, Manawydan, and his two half-brothers, Nisien and Efnisien. His half-brothers were the sons of Euroswydd by his mother, Penarddin, who was herself daughter of Beli Mawr, son of Manogan. Nisien was of a kind and gentle nature, who always sought peace among those absorbed by conflict. Evnisien, on the other hand, was a cruel and jealous troublemaker, a harsh man who always sought to create conflict where there had been none before. Bran the High King, what do you see on the rolling tide or the sea? I see 13 sails and a shield tip raised high on the rolling tide o'er the sea from my down and see what they bring, these ships from the west on the rolling sea. 'Tis the king, 'tis the king, an alliance to bring. Bran's hand, your sister to marry. Let him land, for I do agree. My sister's hand, for a promise of peace. Go now, go now, by land and by sea, to harness Morn. At Aberfraw we shall. Thank you. And that was how it was. Matholwch, the King of Ireland, arrived from across the sea and asked Bran for the hand of his sister Branwen in marriage. It was true that this alliance would make both islands stronger, so Bran agreed. The place they chose for the wedding was Aberfraw. So Matholwch and his retinue returned to their ships and travelled there by sea. Bran's company travelled by land, and soon they reached Aberfraw. Great tents were erected, as Bran was of such a high stature that no house could accommodate him. Then a great feast was arranged, and they sat together, with Bran and Manawydan on one side, and Matholwch on the other, with Branwen beside him. They spoke together all evening. But soon the evening turned to night, and thus it was that Branwen became Matholwch's bride. And that night they slept together. After Branwen had laid with Matholwch, the next day he allowed his horses to be set out to graze in the land that stretched from the court to the sea. And it was after this was done that Evnissian, the troublesome one I spoke of earlier, came upon the horses. He asked to whom they belonged, and he was told they were the horses of Matholwch, the King of Ireland. "And why are they here?" he asked, eyeing the horses suspiciously. All that had come to pass was then relayed to Evnissian, and he learned that his half-sister Branwen had been given as bride to the Irish king. You have heard my story. You know by now how deeply the majesty and spirit of the horse runs through the land of Albion and its people. The horse is the very symbol of sovereignty itself, the symbol of ancestral power and of my mother, Rhiannon. What Evnissian did next was not just an attack on the horses of Matholwch, but was indeed an attack upon sovereignty herself. He drew his knife, the blade sharp and lethal, and then he ran among the horses, cutting off their lips to the teeth, their ears down to the head, their tails to the rump. And when he managed to hold one tightly, he cut the eyelids to the skull. He mutilated those animals. When he was done, blood lay thick upon the land, and the air was filled with the anguished cries of pain from the horses of the King of Ireland as they scattered in desperation, trying to escape the torment that had been laid upon them. When the news reached Matholwch, he was rightly angry and confused. He had just been given a maiden, so good, so noble, and beloved of her people. Why then did Bran order such an act? He met with his counsellors, and they agreed that this was indeed a direct insult to the king, and was intended as such. There was no other response than to make ready to leave immediately and return to Ireland. The news then reached Bran that Matholwch was preparing to return home without leave or petition. He immediately sent two of his best men to find the Irish king and find out why. He sent Iddig, son of Anaraug, and Hafaidh Hir. The two men rode as fast as the horses could carry them, and soon they saw Matholwch and his party walking down to the shore. They overtook them, reined in their horses, and asked what he was planning to do and why they were leaving. The Irish king shook his head in disbelief. He told Iddig and Hafaidh that never had such an insult been given, that he regretted the day he sailed to Albion. He told them of his confusion that such a remarkable thing could have happened, that Branwen, one of the three chief ancestresses of the Island of the Mighty, had been given to him as a bride, and then he was insulted in such a way. It was a wonder that such an insult was undertaken after such a good maiden had been given to him. Iddig and Hafaidh looked at each other, then back at the king, and asked what had happened. And the Irish king, in utter disbelief, told them about the attack on his horses. "The gods know, my lord, that insult was not done to you with the approval of the one who rules this court," Iddig said. "No counsel was taken on this, and although this act was an insult upon you, it is an even greater insult to Bran, the High King." Matholwch shook his head, but reluctantly agreed. However, the insult had been done, and there was no taking it back. The men returned to Bran and relayed what the Irish king had said. "Such a hope for peace may have been shattered. We cannot allow him to leave angry. Who knows where such an act may lead," Bran said, and the messengers agreed. Bran then stood. A giant of a man he was. He drew a heavy sigh. This was not at all what was meant to be. He spoke then. "Arise, Manawydan, son of Llyr, Inig, Glaru, Asgwydd, and Hafaidh here. Go and meet once more with Matholwch. Tell him that we acknowledge the insult that has been given. We will search the land for the finest horses of Albion. We will gather them, and they shall be his, one for every horse he has lost. As his honour price, I will also give him a rod of silver as thick as his little finger, and a plate of gold as broad as his face. Tell him also of the man who did this act, for he is my kin from my mother's side, and that it was done against my will. It is not easy for a half-brother to kill or destroy a half-brother. Please ask Matholwch to come and see me, and I will make peace with him on his terms." The messengers left, and soon they found Matholwch and his retinue upon the shore, still making ready to leave. They relayed what Bran had said in a kind and friendly manner, and Matholwch listened to their words. He agreed to take counsel. Matholwch met with his druids, and they decided that if they were to leave, likely even more shame would come upon them when they returned to Ireland. But if they were to stay, then at the very least they would receive adequate compensation. So Matholwch made up his mind to stay. That night they came to the court in peace, and the tents and pavilions were arranged as if they were the greatest of mead halls. Peace had been restored, and they all now sat together, just as they had on that very first night, when they had discussed the marriage of Matholwch and Branwen. But as the night progressed, it seemed to Bran that Matholwch's conversation was sad and lifeless, whereas before it had been full of life and vitality. He began to wonder if the compensation he had offered the Irish king had been too little. "Sir," said Bran, "I can hear in your conversation that you are not happy. If you feel that your compensation was too little, I shall add to it, and tomorrow you will receive all of your horses." Murtholach told Bran he was a good man, and may the gods repay him for his kindness and generosity. There are moments when it seems as if we are all but pieces in a game of Gwyth Bwych, that decisions made are not our own. I have often wondered upon the decision Bran now made. Peace between Ireland and the Island of the Mighty would be beneficial to each king, and would indeed make each peoples stronger. Maybe it was once more the influence of Anun. Maybe the grey folk thrive on chaos, and sometimes guide our words and actions for their own ends. The gods know that, in the future, Bran had a role to play in that other place. But that is another tale. So as Bran considered the gift he would offer the Irish king, one so big that it could leave no doubt as to his wishes for peace and unity between the two islands, maybe he heard three words being whispered into his ear by some invisible guest at that table. "I will increase your compensation," Bran said. "I will give you a cauldron, and the property of that cauldron is that if you place within it one of your men who has died that day, then by tomorrow he will return as strong as before, but without the gift of speech." And that was the gift that finally softened Matholoch's mood. He thanked Bran. The two kings embraced and spent the rest of the evening in good and open conversation. The next day, horses were given to Matholoch, and then he was taken to the Comot, where foals were handed over to him until the payment was complete. And for that reason, the Comot was thence known as Talebolion, which means payment of the foals. The second night, they once more gathered under the canvas of the court, and soon the conversation turned to the cauldron. Matholoch asked Bran how he had come upon such a magical item. "I received it from a man from your land," Bran replied, "and for all I know, that is from where it came." The Irish king asked who the man was, and Bran replied, "His name was Hlassar Hlais Gavanawig, and he came here from Eire with his wife, Cumde Cumenfolch."
Thank you.
It's 6:48. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. That was Anya Minot with Winter, Fire and Snow, a new single that she just released. And it looks like our snow has started to taper off. It's a little bit difficult to tell, but I don't see any more precip falling under the street lights. Before that, we heard Dave Flynn. He reissued an album, Direct, the 10th anniversary edition, and this is The Tempest in Molly that he remastered on Frisbee Records. And it reminds me that if you are a Celtic artist who would like to get heard, please send your CDs and promotional announcements to Celtic Dawn, care of a WMFO, Post Office Box 53065, Medford, Massachusetts, 02153. Before Dave, we heard Dave the Bard from his new album, telling the second branch of the Mabinogi story We heard the prologue, Songs from the West in Evnesian's Rage, and the Cauldron of Rebirth. And if you know the story, you know it's time to watch out, because mischief is afoot. Prior to that, we heard Lorcan MacMithuna with An Caithac, the story of Colum Kia's copy of a book that he was not allowed to retain. And that's from The Arrows That Murder Sleep. And we started off with Noel Sing We Clear with Masters in the Hall. And now we are actually going to hear Child's Play giving us a turka.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's 6:59. You're listening to WMFO in Medford, and we're wrapping up a Celtic Dawn with Joni Madden's new album, Cherish the Ladies and Heart of the